Ephesians chapter 6 this morning as we continue preaching through the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, we read, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. It is right, and we can direct our lives by it. Father, I ask for the filling of your Holy Spirit to help me to preach and teach that which you have for us in your word this morning. I pray for my dear wife, fill her with your spirit, relaying the message in sign. Pray for Brother Brian in the nursery, fill him with your spirit as he ministers to the children there. I thank you for each one that's here this morning. It's truly a privilege to be gathered together here. And I do pray that you would speak to every heart your word. Show us all the way in which we need to draw closer to you, for there is not one lacking that need this morning. It may be salvation, it may be a closer walk with thee. But Father, we need you every hour, as the song says, every moment. And so, dear God, work in this service this morning. We thank you for the word that's gone forth already in the adult Sunday school hour, the children's Sunday school hour. Seal it to our hearts, God. And Father, now edify your church. May your word continue to go forth from this place and from your people as witnesses, that ultimately souls might be saved, lives would be changed for the glory of God. And Lord, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. It is well with my soul. I hope it's well with your soul today. Hope you know the Lord is your Savior. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is John 5:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." I'm glad that day happened for me some 35 years ago now. I trusted Christ as my Savior. I believed on his word. I trusted him for the forgiveness of my sins. And that day, 35 years ago, I passed from death unto life. Isn't it wonderful to know the Lord? Salvation's a gift. That's why we can know we have eternal life. If we had to earn it or deserve it, we'd have to wait to die to find out what God said. But God's already made the final judgment. We're all guilty. And he'll justify us freely if we'll believe in Jesus Christ. That's his judgment. And anybody can believe. We believe in a whole lot of things. We believe in a whole lot of things we shouldn't believe in. But there's one thing we should believe in. That's that his Son came and died for our sins and rose again. Amen. Amen. If you call upon him, he'll forgive us and save us. Amen. I'm entitled the message this morning as we continue this series, simply children in Christ, children and Christ. So you may be thinking, well, preacher, here I am, and I'm here this morning, I'm an adult, and you're preaching on children in Christ. Children, obey your parents. Well, I guess there's nothing for me. Well, that's not the case. We know God's word always has something for us, amen? And by the way, you are a child. If you're born again, you're a child of God. And you have the parent of all parents to obey, amen? And so the same things that we look that children are to obey their parents, we can say, I need to follow my Father, my God, my Savior in that way. And so there are applications that we all can make from the lesson this morning. Amen. So I've entitled the lesson, Christ and Children. Christ and children. And first of all, we see, number one, that this sixth commandment, which is that commandment to honor your father and mother, that sixth commandment is right. It's a right commandment. That extra word in there, it looks like. It's a right commandment. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. For this is right. And now, notice that God addresses the children directly through Paul. Just as earlier in chapter 5, he addressed the husband directly, what he was supposed to do. Just as earlier in chapter 5, he addressed the wife directly in what she was supposed to do. You see, wives have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ if they're saved. And God gives them instructions for them between God and them. Husbands, if they're saved, have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. God gives them directly to them, to the husbands, what they need to do to have a right relationship with Him. And guess what? Children who are saved can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and God directs the children directly to them and gives them instructions how they can have a close relationship with the Lord. He addresses them directly. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Isn't it wonderful that we can teach children to develop a personal relationship with God so early? Because God speaks to them directly. Children, here's what I have for you. What is one of the greatest things that a child can do? A child who wants to have a close relationship with a Savior? Well, God told them, obey your parents. God says, I'm talking to you, child, that has understanding. You're saved. You have enough understanding that you have been born again. They've trusted Christ as their Savior. God says, I'm talking to you now. Here's what I want you to do. Obey your parents. And that makes for a close relationship for that child to have with the Savior. Isn't it wonderful that we as parents can teach our children that? And we can teach our grandchildren that, obey their parents, amen? And show them they can walk close to God. That's part of what God wants them to do. It's not just because we said it. It's why? So they can be close to the Lord. Because that's what He wants them to do. Teaching in the Sunday school there, and children can walk with God. Proverbs 20:11. Even a child is known by its doings. You know, we sing that song, even a child is known by his doings. Even a child is known by his ways. Even a child can learn how to trust him. Even a child, what? Can give the Lord praise. Isn't that wonderful? Our children can have a relationship with the Lord. The children's lesson this morning, I taught the Sunday school morning to the children, was on Esther. And the Bible says about Esther, she did the commandments of Mordecai. Mordecai had adopted her. He was, in a sense, her father. Her parents were dead. And Mordecai took care of her. And she did the commandments of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. Why? Because Esther walked with God. And God said, obey your parents. And Mordecai happened to be the parent that God put in Esther's life. And she was faithful to obey. obey your parents in the Lord. Now, it's important to note that God is here talking to people who are in the Lord. And by the way, growing in the Lord. We remember that. But that word obey, to listen, to hearken, to hearken to a command, to obey, to submit to. I like this part of the definition. To obey, this Greek word hupakuo, to obey. It's use of one who, on the knock at the door, comes to listen who it is. The duty of a porter. So if someone knocks the door, the porter comes to listen. Who is it? And upon that answer, the porter must decide what? This is one I need to let in. Or what? This is one I need to keep out. The porter has a decision to make. I think about that. Speaking of applications for adults, Jesus said in John 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door." I'm sorry, Revelation 3:20. "Behold, what? I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Now, frankly, that passage is sometimes used to speak about salvation, but frankly, the context is speaking about fellowship. I'm wanting to have fellowship, God says, with all of my children. And God is seeking that in everyone. And he says, "And when I knock, every one of my children opens up the door and says, I want..." See, in the Hebrew culture, the Jewish culture, that eating around that meal, that was a great fellowship and unity. You want to be close with me, God, Jesus says, I'll be close with you. You just open the door. When I knock, you open the door and let me in. And folks, when you and I hear this word of God, it's not just that sixth commandment. It's all right, isn't it? It's all right. And when we hear that Holy Spirit say, "This is what you ought to do," or "This is what you should not do," then we need to open that door and receive that in. Amen. Why? That he may have fellowship with us, and we may sup with him. We may be close with him as we receive his word. Obey. We ought to obey as children for fellowship. John 14:23, Jesus said, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him and will come unto him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Doesn't that sound like a good place to be? Where God the Father and God the Son say, "We abide with this person." Why? Because we love God and keep his commandments. Do we do that perfectly? Absolutely not. One man did that. His name's Jesus Christ. But we can walk in his commandments, and we'll mess up at times, but as we walk with him, we learn we're not earning our salvation. That's a gift. But we're experiencing a closeness with God as we receive his word, even as a child. Even as a child. For this is right. It is right. Righteous, virtuous, acceptable to God. By the way, God is right, isn't he? God is right. Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, here it is, just and right is he. God is right. Sadly, we're living in a world where even parents are beginning to tell their children that there is no absolute right and wrong. You just got to figure it out yourself, little Johnny, little Susie. Right and wrong is an abstract thing. You figure it out for yourself. That's a catastrophe in a child's life. God gave parents to children to lead them. Well, I want them to discover themselves. Listen, if they read this book and believe this is right, they'll discover themselves all right. They'll discover, like you, like I hope that all here have discovered, they'll discover that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Needing to trust Jesus Christ. Needing to follow His path. Psalm 19:8. The statutes of the Lord are right. They are right. When Israel was afraid the prophet Samuel would cease to pray for them because they had times had disobeyed, Samuel said, God forbid, 1 Samuel 12:23, that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and, here it is, the right way. Well, what gave Samuel the right to say that he knows the right way? Because he knew the Word of God. And folks, the Word of God is the right way. It is the right way. Our children are so confused today, it breaks my heart. We have parents telling their children today, now Johnny, if they're bold enough to give him a name that can't be a boy or a girl, I'm not going to tell you what gender you are. You figure that out. My heart breaks when I hear things like that. In the beginning, God created them what? Male and female. I hear two. How about you? And folks, that's right. That's right. And if we'll love our children, we'll teach them what's right. Amen? God has decided by their DNA what they are. That's, we're not God. That's not for us to pick and choose. Samuel said to them, I'd seek the right way for you. He knew the Word of God. We find that in the New Testament also. Peter's talking about false teachers who were teaching against the things of the Word of God, teaching against the things of Christ. And in 2 Peter 2:15, he said about them, they had forsaken the right way. The right way, right here. The right way. And we need to tell our children, teach our loved ones the right way. Amen. Parents do well to understand, you are first to be the child's parent, not the child's friend. You are not the child's peer, you are the child's parent. And if you have children, you are supposed to be gaining wisdom. You are supposed to be walking with God so that you can teach that precious child right from wrong. You can teach them about creation. You can teach them about sin. About God's love for the world so much that He sent His Son to die for all sinners and to rise again. You can teach them about heaven and hell. Jesus spoke more about hell and money than any two other subjects. Preached more about that. And you can teach them right from wrong. Oh, children, obey your parents. I think about Jesus when he was 12 years old. They Joseph and Mary forgot him in the temple. They went back to get him. And as they're leaving, the Bible says he was 12 years old. He went down with them and came to Nazareth. Here it is. And was subject unto them. I'll tell you, never a child obeyed their parents like Jesus Christ did. He obeyed his parents because he walked with the Father, and that would have been the Father's key commandment for him at that time, was to obey his parents, and he did so. Teaching children right from wrong. Is it no wonder, Dennis Prager writes, in Christianity Today some years ago, is it no wonder that in 15 years of asking high school students throughout America whether in an emergency situation they would save their dog or a stranger first, most students have answered they would not save the stranger. I love my dog. I don't love the stranger, they always say. The feeling of love has supplanted God or religious principle as the moral guide for young people. What is right has been redefined in terms of what an individual feels. And folks, this book is what is right. Man was created in the image of God. No other creation was. Therefore, a human, as Jesus said, is of more value than many sparrows. If we had to lose all the sparrows in the world to save one person, God says it'd be worth it. Because sparrows aren't created in the image of God. People are. People are. First of all, the sixth commandment is a right commandment. And then secondly, we see the sixth commandment is a reverent commandment. Reverent commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. It's to place a great value on your parents, to consider them precious and that great value, teaching them that. It's the first commandment with promise. There are earthly blessings that come and spiritual blessings when children obey their parents. It's the first commandment with promise. Think about the good of God, the goodness of God. That the first commandment, of course, of the Ten Commandments, with promise, is given to children. It has blessings in this life. And so it is of the grace of God that a child can begin learning early that which fosters long life. This early commandment deals with recognizing a higher authority, your parents, and rendering to them loving honor and obedience. The first commandment with promise, that we be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long upon the earth. Honoring, obeying parents. Proverbs 1:8. Solomon writing to his son. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. Keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother. We find that Proverbs 1:8. Proverbs 6:20. So children are to honor, love, highly revere, highly value, highly respect their parents. Mark Twain wrote, it is better to deserve honors and not have them than to have them and not deserve them. In other words, parents, I'm a parent and a grandparent. I'm not a great grandparent yet, but it's coming. If we are to be honored, then we ought to be honorable. Amen. Proverbs 15:33 will say, how can I be honorable as a parent? If my children are commanded to honor me, then certainly I want to be honorable. Because it's worse to get honor and not deserve it than deserve it and not get it. How do I be honorable? Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. We humble ourselves to this word. We submit ourselves to our Father. And this word, that's humility. Now we are becoming, in a sense, worthy of honor to our children. Proverbs 23. Is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Argue. No. Blessed are the peacemakers. That'll bring honor. Proverbs 21:21. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness and honor. Following in the ways of God. That makes us an honorable person. Jesus honored his mother. Remember on the cross when he was dying? Mary was one close enough for him to see and speak with and for her to hear. John, the apostle, was close enough there as well. And the Bible says in John 19:25, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, that's John, he said unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." By the way, woman was a respectful title in that culture. "Woman, behold thy son." Then said he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own house. What did Jesus do? He provided for his mother in her time of need. He was the oldest son, and she needed to be cared for. And he made sure that John cared for her. You see, isn't that rather presumptuous? Hey, Jesus poured out his life for John. Jesus transformed John, didn't he? From the inside out. Jesus gave John eternal life. That verse I quoted, John wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He had no problem taking care of the Lord's mother. He took care of his mother. It's a reverent commandment. It's honorable. It's a reverent commandment. By the way, we ought to honor our God. Amen. As children ought to honor their parents, we ought to honor our God. He ought to be valuable to us. In Malachi 1:6, Israel had forsaken the one true God. And God said to them through Malachi in rebuke, he says, If then I be a father, where is mine honor? If I am a father, and where is my honor? Well, we ought to honor God if you're born again. Especially. Matthew 18:3, Jesus says, "What? Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." What does God expect foremost from children to their parents? That they just obey. What, beloved, does God expect foremost from his children? That we just obey. "But I don't understand." Understand later, just obey now. If it's clear to you what God says you ought to do, then we ought to do it. If it's clear to us what God says we ought not to do, then we ought not to do it. "But I don't understand." It don't matter. Act first, figure it out later. God will show you in his time. Obedience is important. One day, my wife and I were visiting relatives in Florida. I'm trying to figure out what relationship she was, Eva, to you. Stepsister. Her stepsister was with us. We were on the beach, had visited her mom over there. She was living in St. Augustine at that time, and we had gone to look at the beach, the East Coast. And she had a few kids with her. We had our children with us, just Joe and Rebecca, and they were just very little children. Eva had a couple, one smaller than we had. And I had one of them by the hand and one in my arm as we're leaving the beach, and we're walking up, and there's a main highway that goes right along the beach, and it's 55 miles an hour. Might even be 60. And it goes, and they just go flying by there. We're walking back up from the beach, and I'm in the front. And my wifey and her mother and even all the other kids are behind. I've got one kid in my arm, real little one, another one by the hand. We're walking up to the highway and I'm looking. Unbeknownst to me, Rebecca was running up behind me, wanting to catch up. I was probably from here to Brother Charles and Sister Lynn from the highway, and the cars were coming fast. And Rebecca was set to run right on by me. She was only that big. She was going as fast as she could go. I didn't even see her. But her mom yelled out, "Rebecca, stop!" One word. That's all she had time to get in. And I thank God Rebecca stopped. Amen. Amen. There wasn't time to answer the question, why? There wasn't time for that. That time required immediate obedience for her own life. And thankfully she obeyed. How many times are we aware? Maybe not as often as, maybe it would scare us if we were aware of the times that when we obeyed God, it would have cost us our life had we not. God sees all that. He knows all that. And He's a loving God. I'm thankful that we have Him to watch over us. Amen. Thirdly, the sixth commandment is a relevant commandment. It's a relevant commandment. How relevant can you get than the fact that it tends to long life? I mean, it's telling children, in the very early stages of life, God gives a commandment to the children who are just beginning life. By the way, if you do this, it tends to long life, to health and strength. If you do these things, honor thy father, thy mother, the first commandment with promise. What is that? That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, we all know, it's kind of like a proverb. It's something that usually happens. There are exceptions. Nobody ever obeyed their parents like Jesus. Nobody ever lived a good life like Jesus, and his life was cut off. But there were different purposes of God there. We understand that. He willingly did that. But most of the time it works out, this brings long life. Folks, you won't hear that preached much anywhere. But we hear these general truths. You can speak out and finish these sentences if you like. Oftentimes you'll see pills that are advertised to help you physically or mentally somehow. I'll talk about this pill. This pill will help your body's metabolism when taken along with diet and it's always with proper diet and exercise. With diet and exercise. With diet and exercise. Folks, maybe try that first. Guess what? It might even work without the pill, okay? Those are things that just tend to life. Are there people that diet and exercise and get cut off or get some disease? Yes, sure there are. But most people who have proper diet and exercise live longer. You can finish this. Early to bed, early to rise. There you go. It makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Think about the spiritual things involved in that. Early to bed. Oh, there goes the late night carousing. There goes being out late at the nightclubs. Early to bed. Early to rise. There goes the laziness. There goes the procrastination. You see that? All those things that God says, the good things that God says we ought to do, and the bad things that God says we ought to steer from, are kind of embodied in that saying there. And there are general blessings that come from that. How about this one? I don't smoke, drink, or chew, or... Yeah, I never heard the go with girls who do. Okay, I guess that's the way it originally goes, isn't it? I had put down or run with those who do, but just general things that tend to good life, long life and health. Listen to the word of God, which is right. Proverbs 3:7 and 8. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Did you get that? You know what marrow and your bones are? That's your blood factory. You know what determines probably the greatest is probably the greatest determiner of your health? The health of your blood. And the Bible says that if we will receive the word of God and walk in the paths of God, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It'll be good for the blood factory. Good for your health. You won't hear too many doctors. There might be some Christian doctors that'll tell you that, but you won't hear too many others that'll tell you that. 1 Timothy 4:8. Bodily exercise profiteth what? Little. There's some profit to it, but not much, comparatively. Well, compared to what? But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Godliness is good for you preparing for heaven, and godliness is good for your mind, your health, your strength, and all your circumstances right now. Right now. Godliness. That's the word in health. God's word on the word in health. Amen. And fourthly, finally, the sixth commandment is a responsible commandment. Look at verse 4. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Provoking to wrath, to rouse to wrath. See, in the study through Ephesians, the last couple lessons, we learned about the husband and the wife. Did you know we know that men and women are different, okay? I know society is trying to tell us, no, you got that all wrong. That traditional stuff, no, it's true. We're different. The DNA is different. There's a different makeup. The brain connections, the nervous nerve in the brain is different between male and female. Things are different, okay? The wife that we talked about being the keeper at home, the Bible says, it cares for the children. The husband is to be the leader of the home. And by the way, he doesn't lead like a dictator. Remember, when God told the wife to submit to the husband earlier there in Ephesians chapter 5, God wasn't telling the husband that. God was telling the wife that. God wasn't saying to the husband, you make sure your wife submits. We went over that. God was telling the wife what I want you to do. Husband, none of your business. Be quiet, husband. I'm talking to the wife. This is between me and the wife. This is between my relationship and her. Here's what I want you to do. Submit to your husband. And husband, love your wife. The wife says, yeah, be quiet, wife. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the husband. This is what I want. God wants the husband to love the wife even if the wife doesn't submit. And God wants the wife to submit to the husband even if the husband doesn't love. Because God commands both to do it for their relationship with Him individually and separately. And if they'll do that, then they'll have the marriage that God wants them to have. We've talked about the perfect wife, what? Being one who can love an imperfect husband. And the perfect husband is what? The one who can love an imperfect wife. Amen? But the wife is more emotional. She has that kind of that tenderness about her. The husband's brain is kind of disconnected there. There's some chemicals that get washed over in the brain there. And yeah, there's some emotions there. But when it comes to right and wrong and the emotions that are involved there, the connection between the two is kind of separated in that solution there that washes over the brain. What I'm saying is, the husband can sentence someone to death and it doesn't affect him as much emotionally as a woman who would have to do the same thing. So both need to work together, because the husband can have a tendency to demand the right and to punish the wrong and not even consider a bit about how someone feels. And the woman has the tendency to slip away from the right or the wrong and make a decision based upon how someone feels. And neither one of those is perfect. God wants a combination of both. I want you to be considerate. I always want you to do right and not to do wrong, but I always want you to be considerate in the process. Speaking the truth in what? Love. So husband, when you find out the child has disobeyed, the child comes home from school and they've had the long, hard day at school, and maybe right when you come home from work, and maybe right when you first walk in the door is not the time to give that child the riot act. Maybe give them 5-10 minutes at home where you're talking with them and telling them you love them and having that fellowship, and then address that wrong, that disobedience, depending on what it was. Being careful with that. Not provoking wrath. Our wives can help us in that. And in being too dogmatic without considering, without being gentle. And we also can realize and help our wives in decisions about being dogmatic when we need to be, and not let emotions move us out away from the truth. Amen. And I'm not saying that yes, men have emotions and are emotional, and yes, women are logical and make it. I'm not saying that one is lacking, and more lacking than the other in any of these things. There's a combination of things going on there. But it's a responsible commandment. We have the responsibility to be careful how we train. Not only what we train our children, but how we train them. I think of this thought in closing. We mentioned this verse earlier, Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment or discernment, truth. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Listen, God is not always right, but he always does things in the right way. He's always right in the right way. He always has the right amount of mercy. He always has the right amount of anger. He always has the right amount of compassion. He never puts forth his truth in a wrong way. He's perfectly balanced in all those things. And that's where we ought to ever be striving to be, amen? And growing more and more toward that. So the glory is, children, obey your parents. And you know what will happen? You'll be closer to the Lord. Do it for him. If you honor him, I think about this, if you honor him, you might even do more than your mom and dad ask you. Take out the trash. And you're thinking, I'm doing this for Jesus. Because God said, children, obey your parents. And so you take out the trash. And guess what? What did mom or dad tell you to do? Take out the trash. You obey, but you go out and there's some garbage laying around the dumpster. And you know what? Since you're doing it for Jesus, and you're doing it to show your parent that you love them, not just that you obey them because you love them, guess what you end up doing? You pick up the trash around the garbage, around the dumpster. And you throw that in too, and you weren't even told to do that. Paul said there was a man by the name of Philemon that was just like that. Paul said, well, I want you to take care of Onesimus. This is a man I want you to take care of, Philemon. Here's what I want you to do for him. And then when Paul was finishing up his letter, he said, oh, and by the way, I know you, Philemon. You're full of love. You're going to do even more than I said. Here's what I said I wanted you to do in taking care of him. And I know you. I know your record. He testified that Philemon was a man that walked with God. He says, you're going to do even more than I say. Why? Because love always compels us further than law, doesn't it? It always can. There is no greater motivation. There is no greater known to man than love. And there's no greater love shown to us than God has shown to us. And thank God, by His Spirit, through faith in Jesus Christ, we can walk in that love and grow in that love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank You for Your love. We love Him because He first loved us, the Bible says. God, You have sparked and spurred the love within us by the love which You've shown to us in Christ. And oh, those words echo loudly in our hearts, or should at least. If You love me, keep My commandments. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to do so more and more as the days go by. Less and less of our own selfish desires and plans, more and more of yielding to You, walking in Your will, learning what You have for us in our lives, learning to reach out to others that they may know Christ as well. And God, that we might be, by Your grace, an example for them, not only in our habits, but in love and honor and in what You're doing in our hearts and lives. Help us, Lord, to be careful, to thank You and praise You. Continue to change our lives and our hearts. Father, I thank You that salvation, that gift, is received simply by faith in Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then You become that parent, as You promised in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's a done deal. I thank You for that, God. And Lord, I pray You bless the message this morning in every heart. Anyone lost in here, they might turn to You. Dear God, and all who've turned to You already, You might draw even closer. And Father, we thank You and praise You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.